You're listening to Therapy for Your Money, a podcast about all things money and finance for therapy practice owners. If you want to feel confident and in control of your financial life, then you've come to the right spot. I'm your host, Julie Harris. I'm an accountant and the owner of Green Oak Accounting. My firm specializes in working with private practices across the U.S., and my team and I have worked with hundreds of private practice owners. I'm on a mission to share all the best practices I've learned along the way, because I want you to have a profitable private practice. Before we get started, I want to invite you to a free webinar I'm hosting on December 18th at 1 p.m. that's all about implementing Profit First in a group practice. If you're thinking about implementing Profit First, if you've been kind of implementing Profit First, or if you're just interested in learning about it, I invite you to join me. We will talk all about the basics of implementation. We'll talk about the current allocations, target allocations, we'll run through an instant assessment example, and we'll talk all about implementing Profit First in your group practice and how to troubleshoot it when things aren't going quite right. We'll also have time for a Q&A session. So if you would like to join me, go to therapyforyourmoney.com/profitfirst to register for this free webinar on December 18th. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Therapy for Your Money. Today, we are talking about hiring when you're going from a solo practice to a group practice. And I'm going to tell you about how that typically works, how you can think about it, and a mistake that I see really, really, really often. Okay, so first, you know, when you're hiring, I'm going to set the stage for you a little bit, right? So that first hire is so critical, and yet most of the time, it's not really... practice owners aren't really considering the numbers, right? So they're asking a friend saying, hey, how are you paying your team? Or asking in a Facebook group, and they're getting a response, sure. But what you don't know is what's actually happening under the hood of that business. Is this profitable for them? Are they making any money? So then after having that input from other practice owners, then here's what's happening. I'm going to set the scene for you, right? This is the internal monologue of the solo practice owner who's considering a group and thinking about hiring. So they're thinking to themselves, well, I want to add a clinician. I want them to feel really good about how much they're making, and I want them to feel valued, and I want to pay them really well. And really, my expenses are going up. I will just pay them the most that I can. I don't need additional space because they're just going to be working when I'm not working. I don't need to get any help. I'll just continue doing the intakes. I'll do the billing. No big deal. So why don't I pay them, 80%? Because I can afford it and my expenses aren't going up at all. And that, my friends, that is how a big decision is made with no numbers. So there's a couple of reasons that scares me. First, compensation of other clinicians in a group practice is the biggest expense in a group practice, the largest by far. In an established group practice, there's never any other expenses that are higher than clinical pay. So let's just put that out there. So I want you to think about how you're going to approach hiring a clinician. That's such a big, important decision that has very long-term consequences. I want you to approach that with data. Because a lot of the time in my accounting practice, when we see this mistake come up is later on, right? A few years down the road after the practice is already in distress. So the group practice owner comes to us and says something along the lines of, I don't know what's going on. We should be making a lot of money. I see the report in the EHR. We're making a lot of money, but I don't know where it is. It never seems like there's enough money for payroll. I'm not paying myself because it seems like there's never enough left. I've taken out another mortgage. I've taken out every payday lender loan that's possible, and there is nowhere left to turn. And I think I might need to close down my business. And so that is a really scary place to be, right? And you'd be surprised at how often we in my firm, accounting firm, encounter this kind of issue. You didn't go into business and take that big risk to lose it all and have to go be a worker for someone else. So I want you to think of the mindset that is keeping you here. So first, we've got to get to the bottom of things. What's actually going on, right? And so then we really look at the numbers. And so what we often find in these situations is that the pay has been structured in a way that the group practice owner is actually losing money on every single session that a clinician is seeing. Every time, it always just blows my mind where here the group practice owner is trying to get more referrals, do more marketing, spend more to get more sessions for their clinicians. And yet the hole that there is just getting deeper. The hole is just getting deeper. Isn't that just crazy? While that might work for the very first clinician, maybe even the second one, you can see how if you're thinking only of your current existing expenses, it's not sustainable, right? You might not need more space for that first clinician, but then you have a second one, and then you add a third, and then you need more space, and then you need an admin, and the whole system just doesn't work anymore because there's no room to add those expenses. So here's how I want you to think about things if you're thinking about hiring another clinician. And I want to caveat that by saying, you know, if you're a clinician working for someone else, what I often hear when those folks are going out on their own, right? You're thinking of leaving a group practice or leaving an agency and going out on your own. The comment I often hear is, well, I want to go out on my own because I want to earn my full fee. I think that's great. But the reality is you're never going to earn your full fee because there are going to be expenses associated with you running the business. You might feel like you're going to earn a little bit more, and that might be true. But there are a lot of expenses that you're not considering. So no one is getting their full fee, even as a solo practitioner, right? There always are going to be expenses. There's going to be rent. There's going to be software expenses. There's a lot of other different things. The other disappointment that might be coming is that there's also a ton of time that you're going to be spending on things that you didn't used to spend any time on, right? Marketing, website, answering phones, answering emails. So there's a value to that time too. So even though you might be, you know, technically earning your full fee, there is an opportunity cost to all that time you're spending on other activities that you weren't spending time on as an employee. So I'm done with my tangent. What do you do when you're thinking about hiring? I want you to look at your ratios. So look at what that is for you in your solo practice. How much is your rent as a percentage of the income that you bring in? How much are all of your other overhead expenses? Look at those numbers in detail and try to at least replicate that. But I also want you to take it a step further and think of the future. So if you're thinking about starting a group practice, then you might have some big plans, right? Maybe you're saying, well, in the next 1 to 5 years, I want a 5-office suite. I want to have 8 clinicians working for me. I want to have an on-site biller. I want to have an administrative assistant who's going to be answering the phones and scheduling the intakes, right? There's a lot of pieces that you might want. And that is going to require more money to do those things. So think of the end in mind or wherever you're heading, even if that's not the end, but what's the 12, 24, 60 month plan and how much is that going to cost? Because if you can look at that and at least try to put some numbers to that, it doesn't have to be perfect, but something is better than nothing. And look at, well, when I have a full-time admin, how much is that going to cost? Put a number to it. When I have a biller, whether that's in-house, whether that's the admin, whether you're contracting that out, you know, at that point, if you have 8 clinicians working for you, you're probably going to need some accounting help, right? You might not be the one who's doing all the bookkeeping. You might need some assistance there. You certainly should be having your taxes done, right? So there's a lot of different pieces that you're going to need. You might need janitorial service. Are you going to be watering the plants? Are you going to be cleaning the floors at the end of the day, right? So depending on what your rent situation is, but there's a lot of different things that you might need. So think of that as well and build that into your model because you always want to build into every single session that either you or a clinician are seeing, you want to build in some profit. There has to be. If you're not going to build in profit, you might as well just stay a solo practice owner because it's not worth it. You don't want to get into a situation where you as the owner have to work more hours just to help cover the overhead of your clinicians. That's not sustainable and that leads to burnout. And if you don't set things up to be profitable, there's going to be a point where you're going to become resentful of your business and we don't want you to get to that point. So when you're thinking of the end also or thinking of where you want to be, you might need to add a layer of leadership. If you have a team of 5, 10, 25, 100, you are probably not going to be seeing very many clients, or your client load might need to reduce. So you need to factor that in as well, that you're going to be contributing less as far as clinical hours to the business. So you need to have that profit built in as well. I also want you to think about, you know, when you're hiring that first clinician, you might be bringing them on as a contractor, maybe as an employee. Regardless of that, chances are you're not offering benefits on day one. There's a good chance. But in 2 years, you might want to be adding PTO. You might be required in your state or city to offer sick leave, but you might also need to add other things. You might want to eventually offer health insurance or life insurance or a 401k. All those things cost money as well. So I want you to be thinking of, will there be enough room for me to add different benefits like that? Because if you start at the very beginning, at the top line, what happens when that clinician comes to you in a year and wants a raise? Is there any room for that to grow? Or what happens when, as a recruitment and retention tool, you want to add benefits for your clinicians? Is there any wiggle room left for you to add that expense while still keeping a decent profit margin? So those are all things to consider. All right, so I often get the question, okay, great. Well, how much should I be paying them? In the show notes, I'm going to link to our group practice budget. You can pop your numbers in there and it's going to automatically calculate your ratios. But when you have a group practice, I would like to see the clinical pay expense, so for all your clinicians, not including you, at 55%. And I'm sure some of you have gasped and said, 55%? How could I possibly do that? And let me unpack that a little bit. First, it doesn't mean that every single clinician you're going to have is going to be at 55%. Some might be higher, right? So if you hire someone who is senior, who has a lot of experience, they might be at 60%, but typically that is going to be offset with someone at a lower rate. So you might have some newly graduated, pre-licensed folks that are coming in closer to that 40% range. So all of that, I would like for it to average out to 55%. And if you're saying, Julie, it's completely impossible, it cannot be done, I'm here to tell you it absolutely can be done. Because here's the reality. When you are at 55%, that leaves room for all the other things, for your admin, for your rent, for your overhead, and for your profit. And I want you to build that profit in. If you end up at 65%, 70%, I've seen as high as an average of 78%, just under 80%. Guess what disappears? It's all the profit. The other expenses are still there. You, as the group practice owner, can't magically add another 24 hours to your day to get all the things done that need to get done in a group practice. You have to hire people and you have to have processes and software in place for those things to happen. So there are expenses that really just can't go anywhere. So if you go to the group practice budget, you're also going to see those recommended ratios for all the other categories as well. So take a look at that. So 55% will be my recommendation. If you're going to go more than that, then you have to cut somewhere else, either in your profit or in one of the other categories. There's really no other way around it. So what do you do if you've already made this mistake and you're like one of our clients who comes to us and they're paying their people way too much? And again, this is not a reflection of the value of that person. That's a reflection of the financial information in the business, right? Where there is no profit. What do you do? It's not easy, but it is absolutely fixable. So I want to encourage you and tell you we've helped our clients fix this plenty of times. So it is absolutely doable. So first, you have to have the data. So run the numbers, know what's actually going on in your business. Once you have all that overhead, what is that percentage? What is the admin, the rent, the leadership? What percentage is that? What are you able to pay yourself right now? And then you have to back your way out of that. So what can you afford to pay people? And then you have to have that really awkward, uncomfortable conversation and renegotiate some contracts. And it can absolutely be done. There is a good chance that you will lose some clinicians, but there's also a very good chance that you're not going to lose all of them. I've actually never seen it happen that everyone leaves, right? So that is definitely something that you can do. A step that you can take even before then, if you're actively hiring, is that very next hire, bring them in at a lower rate, a lower percentage, a flat fee, whatever it may be. But that very next hire, even if you're not going to renegotiate the rates yet, that very next hire should be at a different percentage, at a different model. So that's going to help move the needle automatically. So you can do that step first and then renegotiate with everyone else. That is an option. If you find yourself in a situation where you're not willing to do that work and you're not willing to reduce the pay, I want you to ask yourself why. If you're not able to get paid out of the business, I want you to think about why you're not willing to do that and why you're willing to sacrifice your financial well-being for that. Because if you run this practice into the ground, that's not good for any of your clinicians. They're going to be losing their job. So you don't want them to lose their livelihood. There have been some situations where another thing that you can do is switch them from, for example, a percentage to a flat fee and then increase the rates. So that is possible in a private pay model. Although these types of situations where the pay is too high just typically tends to be in an insurance-based practice overall. That's where I see it most often. So if that is an option, certainly do it, right? Change the comp structure so that that stays fixed and then change the rate. And again, in that situation too, you can certainly get into hot water with some of your employees who are going to say, why are you raising the rate and you're not sharing that with me? And you would have to have that very honest conversation with them saying, listen, we were in a situation where we're losing money on every session and that just can't be. So this is how we're fixing it. I don't want to take anything away from you in dollars, but we do need to increase the fees to be able to cover all the expenses, or this practice is no longer going to exist. So that is something that can be done and should be done. But if you're thinking about creating a group practice, I'm so happy that you're here right now, because this is such an important time and you can set yourself up for success now by making the right decisions and setting this huge expense up properly and set yourself up for profit that is ongoing for the life of your business. So write down your numbers, think through things carefully, and you'll be in a great situation. I also want to mention, I really don't care how much money comes into your business, how much your gross income is. If there's no profit, none of it matters, right? What really matters is how much you get to take home at the end of the day. When you are a business owner, you are taking on a lot of risk. If your clinician leaves, they're not stuck with a 5-year lease. They can leave right away. If someone decides to sue you or sue someone in your practice, that risk is on you, right? So you need to be compensated for that work, but you also need to be compensated for the work that you do in the business, but you also need to be compensated for the risk that you are taking on. All right, listeners, what's your action item for today? I hope you're heading to therapyforyourmoney.com, where you're going to make a copy of our Google Sheet that is the group practice budget calculator that will automatically calculate your ratios. So make some data-driven decisions, plug the numbers in, and I hope you make a great next hire. Talk to you later.
The information contained in this podcast represents the host and guest's general opinions and should not be construed as personalized accounting and tax advice. Listeners should consider all facts and circumstances before applying this information and seek appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. Any info provided does not constitute accounting, tax, or legal advice.